I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
So, a bunch of us got together a few days ago and decided to start our own country. It's Bob Sherwood. Haven't been podcasting in a while. So I just propose the following thing. Get together with a group of people that you know. Get some popcorn. Sit around a table. And decide to start your own country. After all, maybe you don't like the country we're in. So why not start your own? So as you sit around and talk about how to start your own country, think about what are the principles that your country will stand for. What currency will you use? Will there be laws? Will there be agreements among people? Will everyone get a right to vote? Or will there be any voting? In other words, it's not easy to sit down and think through the elements of starting your own country. Now, we have our Constitution, but many people don't believe in it anymore or believe in anything else. I think they're approaching nihilism, I think, is where you fail to believe in anything or believe nothing has a foundation of truth. But aside from that, talk about what I'm driving at now. Sit down with your group of your friends, the ones that don't like America, the ones that see there's problems with America, and decide how to form a perfect union, how to form a perfect country. Then start writing down your own constitution. I think you're going to find out it's pretty difficult. For example, would part of your constitution be that you can kill anyone you want? Probably not, so you would write down, thou shalt not kill. What about stealing from your neighbor? If your neighbor has more food than you do, can you go take his food? Maybe not. I don't think your group would agree to that. So now we write down, thou shalt not steal. And you may go on and write down more of these laws, no stealing, no killing. And then you're going to have to come up with a method of enforcing that. For example, if Joe gets up in the morning and goes next door and steals his neighbor's food, are you going to enforce the principle? Are you going to make Joe accountable? What are you going to do? Are you going to send him to jail? Are you going to have a nation of laws? Are you going to have a Supreme Court? How are you going to do it? I don't know. I think it's difficult. I can't imagine the arguments and the thought that went into the forming of our Constitution. But when I think about it, I think it makes a lot of sense. We're going to be a nation of laws. They're going to be enforced. There's going to be some accountability. It's going to be difficult. It will be a struggle because as groups of people or as a group of different people, we have different ideas on levels of enforcement, on levels of punishment. Two parents can't get together and agree on what they would do to their children if their children stole cookies or if their children lied. The punishments would be different. The accountability would be different. If you really try to sit down with your group of people, your friends, and try to determine your own constitution, you begin to see how difficult it is. It's made more difficult by what I call the nuances, and we see this every day on TV. The nuances are, I say something, but it's easy to take it out of context, which I understand. Hey, Joe, you're doing a good job. Did I mean he was doing a good job, or did I mean he was doing a good job, as in sarcasm? So it's difficult to come up with a constitution. It can't be every man for himself or every woman for himself or every person for themselves, can it? How can we live as a group with that kind of rule? It can't be a situation where the biggest person, the strongest person controls everything. That wouldn't make any sense. So writing a constitution the way our forefathers did it, you must wind up giving them great respect for what they did. It's not easy to come up with a constitution and then agree that you're going to abide by the constitution, even though other people vote against you. You disagree with some part of it, but you're agreeing to go along with the majority. Wow, what a stretch that must be, knowing that you're going to have to agree to do things or agree with things that you don't necessarily believe in, but you're going to have to do it because the majority believes in it. Now, then you have the issue of one man, one vote or electoral college, but see, it gets very complicated. Let me change direction just for a second. Last night, I listened to the Oliver Stone Untold History of America. Several episodes. I watched two episodes. At the end of two episodes, I concluded America has to be the worst country in the world. World War II, we dropped bombs, killed hundreds of thousands of people. Then we had the Cold War. Then we had the Korean War, killed thousands of people. Later we had the Vietnam War, killed thousands of people. Had other wars, killed thousands of people. If you were to compress the entire Oliver Stone series into 10 minutes, you'd have to conclude, my gosh, this America is no place I'd want to live. Yet guess what? A lot of people do want to live here. So what does this all mean? It means that if you compress all the bad things about America into a 30-minute film, you have to conclude it was a pretty bad country. But then you forget all the good things. In World War II, like it or not, America saved Europe. We gave up 500,000 of our own people to put down Nazi Germany. Now, maybe we made a whole series of mistakes after that, and we certainly did. In fact, if you analyze history from the future or after the history has occurred, you see all the glaring errors. And I'm not forgiving the famous Colin Powell, there are no weapons, there are weapons of mass destruction. I'm not forgiving that. I'm not forgiving all the lies talked about the Vietnam War, but I'm saying our government is composed of people. They are not omnipotent. For the most part, they're not smarter than most of us. Many times, they're dumber than most of us. They have their own common sense beliefs. If you listen to what Lyndon Johnson often said, he has the foulest mouth that I've ever heard. And he was always concerned about his image and why would we let a small country like Vietnam with a few million people push America around? But they did. It was all about honor and image and not about what are we trying to do. We see that happening now. We see all sorts of struggling with nuances. I can hardly listen to TV lately because I actually know and heard what some person said. And then I listen to one of the channels as they take the words out of context and characterize it in a completely different way. I feel the same way. I feel like I can't say anything sometimes because if I do, it might be mischaracterized, or it'll be taken out of context, or someone will assume my intent. Now, I am the only one that knows my intent. But if you take my words and put them in your context, you're going to make a conclusion based on my intent, even though that wasn't my intent. not knowing exactly what I said or what I'm referring to, but it's hard to know someone's intent without asking them what their intent was. Then they respond with more words, which can be taken out of context, and we're back into the endless circle again of these nuances. And they go on and on. Now, let's mention or two about the election coming up. I do like Trump's policies. But I think Biden and Kamala Harris have a good chance of winning. Only because fundamentally, people are irrational for the most part. Not everyone, but most people are irrational. Logic is a commodity, a rare commodity. And people simply look at it simply this way. Gosh, things aren't going so well. Any change is better than what's going on. That's how people look at it. If you look at the election of Nixon or Johnson over Goldwater, Johnson said, hey, we're never going to be in a Vietnam War. We're going to bring our people home. And Goldwater said, hey, look, let's either go to war or not. You may call Johnson a liar, but he was elected. Nixon was elected when Johnson said he wouldn't run again. Then we have Ford. What I'm saying is that all these people were elected based on change. No one was elected, based on my analysis, based on some new policy. Oh, we always knew the Democrats would raise the taxes and Republicans try to lower the taxes, but Democrats get elected too. Think of John F. Kennedy and just try to think about what policy was he elected on? He was elected. Most commentators would agree with this because he just looked so much better on television than Nixon. Nixon sweated, Kennedy didn't. You've got all these simple reasons for people that vote, and logic isn't one of them. So mark my words, with all the criticisms that people have of Biden for his lack of policies, and Kamala Harris for her being corrupt or whatever they say about her. And I don't know if either one of them are qualified. I don't know if anybody is qualified. Just the idea that you think you should be president is probably enough to cast some doubt on your mental ability. In any way, in any event, that's all I have for today. I don't know that there's any summary here. I think there's a couple points. Go ahead and watch Oliver Stone's movie. If you want to have a good cry, by the way, watch a movie called Kodachrome. Great movie about people who take pictures, who try to capture the moment. And think about why people vote. And then sit down, as I said, with a group of your friends, maybe on a Zoom, and design your own country. And I believe when you get through, it's going to look a lot like the United States. It's going to look a lot like our Constitution. There's not many ways you can improve it. And that's the whole point. So signing off, that's all for now. Good luck, have a good day, and keep listening. I brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.